200. Saintly dashing two lengths in front. Cummings and Beatman. Cummings going for 10 and he's got it. Saintly well clear of Count Chivas. Nothing like a Dane and Sky Bay, but Saintly. Saintly wins it easily from Count Chivas second. A photo third either Sky Bay or Senator who ran on well.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yes, it's our great pleasure to introduce to the program as our legend today, a two-time Melbourne Cup winning jockey, an absolute legend, and now thoroughly currently involved in the thoroughbred industry with Godolphin, Darren Beebin. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Jimmy and Dean.
Thanks very much for your time, mate. What about that? We just heard the call of Saintly winning the Cup. I know it was the second time you'd won the Melbourne Cup. Such a dominant performance to do it for Bart Cummins again. What when you hear that, what goes through the mind?
Oh, some great memories. Just love hearing it. Yeah, it was a great stage, time of my career, and to do it with Bart. Like when you went to Melbourne, it was Melbourne Cup, but it was Bart Cummings as well because he stoned the race, through that period of time.
Mm. Hey Darren, I'm interested to find out when you crossed the finishing line on those two Melbourne Cups. What was your first thought? Who was it for? Was it for yourself, connections, trainer, family? Mm. Who was the first person you thought about when you went past that winning post?
Myself. because, I guess it's a bit of a selfish approach to it. But from when I was a young kid, we all sort of grew up hearing the Melbourne Cup or watching it at school, and they'd stop the class and turn the TV on when you're in year four or year five. And
yes.
So it was really entrenched in your life, and that's the only race that I wanted to win was the Melbourne Cup, and to be able to go across the line first on Kingston Rule, like that home straight at Flemington, it felt like the Nullarbor. I was in front on Kingston Rule, probably about 150, 200 metres from home, and I sort of had to zigzag for a run, but you're just waiting for something to gobble you up. The winning post didn't come quick enough, but it was just a sense of relief that you've really achieved something that you've really wanted to do from, when I was, probably 7 or 8.
Yeah. Well, how did it become a part of your life? Darren, was it a family thing? I think you grew up in regional New South Wales. How did the idea of becoming a jockey first plant itself in your mind?
My mum and dad, we used to have show ponies. We used to go to pony clubs and horse shows and rodeos. And so horses were very much a part of our life. I lived in Canberra in Woden Valley in a suburb called Garran. And yep. We had ponies in our backyard then. They built the stables, so horses were just a major part of our life all the way through my childhood years. And then going through the shows, I was able to, there's a trainer in Sydney called Baden Hasler, and his daughter had horses as well. And so I got a job interview with Theo Green and left home at 15 and started my journey and my dream.
Mm. Darren, in car racing, it comes down to Bathurst. If it's the NFL, it comes down to Super Bowls, rather. Do you think a jockey's career is defined on how many Melbourne Cups that they've won?
I think it takes you a long way up the ladder. Mm. I think that you look at Ollie. I think he had history there yesterday. He had 72 or 73.
Yeah.
Victories over the Melbourne Cup, over the Spring Carnival, that's a mighty feat. And I guess it's longevity, consistency, and being able to perform under pressure.
Yeah. You had success very quickly. You won the Apprentice Premiership in your first year, and then you won it again a couple of years later. The Group 1s came pretty quickly, the Golden Slipper win on Inspired in 84. When did you start to think, I can make a real go of this, Darren?
I guess probably winning the Golden Slipper. It was my first ride in a Group 1 race when I was only 18 years of age. And I used to strap the horse, look after him. So very much a part of, it wasn't just a horse that I picked up from another trainer. It was a horse that I looked after. And so the boss having faith in me you know, at that stage of my career, so early, you know, I'd only been in my second year of riding, to win a race of that nature. I didn't realise how big that race. Well, it was a big race, but it was the Melbourne Cup was the race at that time, you know, for me. But
yeah,
to win a slipper, that really sort of thought, gee, I think I can make a go of this.
Yeah.
Darren, in your prime and throughout much of your career, you were the premier jockey in Australia. And with that goes enormous pressure. How did you cope with the weekly pressure of being the best in the country? Did you cope with it well? And who did you turn to if you didn't?
James McDonald gave me a great quote yesterday. I said to him, I said, do you get nervous on days like this? Do you get, you know, do you feel the pressure? He said, pressure is what you put in tyres. That was a good quote. But look, as a sportsman, it's all about what I've, you know, over the years, it's about being in a routine, fitness, being focused. You know, you live, you breathe, you're constantly thinking about, you know, the next sort of race day or, you know, a week ahead. So it really becomes your life, and you've got to be totally devoted to it. Mm. The moment you start to, you know, take your eye off the ball, it's when, you know, you're not doing those sort of 1%ers, 5%ers that make the difference between a short head win and a loss. And I was listening to sort of your radio before I got on, and you've got to want to do it. Like the Tongans, you know, you've got to want to do it. It's just that drive in you that sort of takes you to that next level.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot here. 85 Group 1 wins. Some of them on the most famed horses in the country at the time. Do you have a standout Group 1 victory, and do you have a standout horse in your career?
Well, my first Group 1 was you know, obviously a standout with a slipper, and then the Melbourne Cup on Kingston Rule. You know, for Bart, that was probably the two main races. And look, the horse that I really, really had there was a couple of them, Lonro, Saintly, and Octagonal. They were the main three.
Right.
That I've really had so much, heartfelt emotions towards. Lonro, I think he was the best horse I rode.
Wow.
He just had it all. Like, you could just feel the power underneath you. Like he was like, you know, probably driving a high performance car. Like you could just feel the power underneath him, and he was so strong and big shoulders and acceleration, and he knew he was so good as well. So, he gave me probably the sensation that a lot of horses didn't.
Mm. Darren, in a big race, I'll be fascinated to get your answer here. When you give him a clip like a Lonro, for example, or a Saintly, how much exhilaration do you get when the power starts down the straight? The horse goes and you're on board. How much does your heart start to go bang?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're in a race, the most important thing is just to keep relaxed, because the horse, like the reins between, you know, that you hang on to are like the telephone line to the horse, in the sense that you give them the message. So if they feel that you're nice and relaxed, they can feel it through your hands.
Mm.
And so you've got to remain composed. You can't get overawed with what's going on. So I guess being relaxed, but then when you get to about the 600 meters, 400 meter mark, when you've got to start to look for runs and, you know, manoeuvre yourself into a position, it's about just holding it all together, because you can really push the button too quick. And as Bart used to say, he said, "Oh, you've got an itchy bum there on the corner." Like, you know, you just go too early. So it's all about timing. It's a craft that you've really got to harness, and you can't get overawed by it.
Mm. Knowing that you retired from riding because of a injury sustained in a fall, and knowing that yes, you have. It's a craft, but there's also that danger element with you the entire time. Darren, how do they work together, and what do you work on to make sure that you push that to the back of your mind when it comes to riding these massive animals?
Yeah, fear is one thing that sort of goes through a jockey's mind. I wouldn't say, you know, regularly, but there are thoughts of it. But you've got to have that mindset that you just block it out, because you know you do know that the elements are there for injury to happen, or you know, for a horse to. But probably the quickest ones are the ones that you know are the easiest, because I remember I was in a race at Ipswich one day, and there were probably about a field of about probably 16 runners in the race. I think about 12 or 13 fell. The horse outside the leader fell. And I was back about third last. And you set, like, you're obviously in the race in the back straight, and you're watching the runners in front of you. And next minute you see the horse outside the lead go down. And then it was like a domino effect. And by the time that I'd fallen, I was nearly sort of down to probably half pace, three-quarter pace, because everything had slowed down. But it was like a minefield trying to dodge horses. And that was probably the worst fall I've been in, given that I could see it all happening unfold in front of me. But you've just got to block it out of your mind. And, you know, with my injury I had in Hong Kong, you know, it was just a normal day's work for me, turning up, going to work, track work, riding trials. And I went 150 metres out of the barriers, and the horse broke its leg, and then he broke its other leg. And when I fell, it just happened so quick, and it was all over before I knew it.
Darren, you've obviously got an amazing eye for jockeys. Mm-hmm. Of the current crop, if you were down hypothetically to your last 10 bucks, which jockey would you put on today to fight for your money?
Oh, I love James Mack. You know, when his weight's right, when he's really in the zone, James Mack, he can get, you know, that extra head out of a horse, and he's very good. You know, stayers, sprinters, you know, all types of ground, fillies, colts. He's a real all rounder. He's certainly got the wow factor.
All right, and just before we let you go, mate, a winner for Tuesday. Can you help out the listeners?
Look, I think the Caulfield Cup winner. I was just looking back through it, you know, through its form, and hasn't, as its career in Japan, hasn't run under a mile. So obviously they feel that it can run a trip. Obviously the mile and a half was as further as it went the other day, but the way it won the Caulfield Cup, holy, it's drawn the right gate. Damien's just going to be able to put it to sleep, and they're classy individuals, the Japanese runners.
$6.50 favourite now, Tab, Murder Glaze. So there's the tip from the two-time winning jockey, Darren Boomer. Darren, it's been fantastic. Thanks for your time this morning, and good luck on the Cup and beyond.
Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Darren Boomer, and a Hall of Fame jockey.
What a great interview, Jimmy.
Seriously, Dino.
Fascinating.
I wanted to ask him about the Australian Cup win of Lonro in 2004, knocked down twice in the straight, gets up and went. Just incredible career. Incredible career.